I'd ask you to please turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 28 and verse 5. Matthew 28 and verse 5. That is page 997. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, or be not afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. I want us to consider this morning the resurrection, comfort, and certainty. The resurrection, comfort, and certainty. Now, as we have read, Mary Magdalene and Mary came to the tomb, motivated by their love for the Lord, the crucified one. Other accounts in the Gospels, we know that they intended to anoint his body in the tomb following his death on the cross at Calvary. They wanted to see the sepulchre. Well, going to the tomb, the two Marys realized that a huge stone would have been placed in the front of the sepulchre cave. And they knew that soldiers were guarding the cave. And we know in the other accounts that they have a great question. And the question is this: who will roll away the stone? It's described as a very great stone. And with such an obstacle in front of them, their mission, humanly speaking, was impossible. Soldiers in front of the tomb, guarding the entrance, the stone steeled, and it was such a heavy stone that the two ladies themselves would not be able to roll the stone away. But despite this great hindrance, they still hasten to the tomb, to the sepulchre. They were not being put off by human impossibility. And their love for Jesus Christ was such that they were prepared to address this hindrance by faith. But to their great surprise, when they arrive at the tomb, the great stone was rolled away. It was already rolled away before they arrived. Now, I want to make a small application here this morning. You may have come into the Lord's house this morning with a stone in your life, something which seems impossible, that needs to be rolled away. The stone of unbelief. How can this ever have happened? How can the Lord Jesus have risen from the dead? How can this miracle have ever happened? And you are surrounded with many, many people who say it's just a myth, it's just a story. And yet the Word of God says this was an event that really happened. And there's a stone of unbelief in the way. Maybe you've come into the Lord's house with a stone of fear, or the stone of distraction, or persecution, or opposition, or sickness even. These big stones that are in front of us. Well, these women came to the sepulchre because they loved the Lord, and they came because they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God went before them, and he rolled the stone away. Now, sometimes we have to go to a difficult meeting to discuss what seems to be an intractable problem. But then we find the Lord has gone before. He's worked in the mind of the person, helping them to see the situation for what it is more clearly. And here God has gone before, sending the earthquake. Who will roll away the stone? We can't do it, but we're still going to go to the sepulchre. Well, may the Lord give us faith to trust in him at all times and realize that the Lord can go before us He can make the crooked places straight and the rough places plain. Well, here God had gone before. He'd sent an earthquake. He'd also sent an angel who'd rolled back the stone to open up the tomb. And the angel's countenance was like lightning, we read. His clothing was as white as snow. And the angel's presence on the stone that rolled away symbolized victory over death. Victory over death. And if we want to know victory over death ourselves, it is by faith in a risen Savior. There is no other victory over death. Death is destruction without Christ in our life. But with a risen Christ in our life, trusting in Him, death, even death, is changed to a victory because it's but the door through which we go through to enter into heaven, into glory. Well, these proud soldiers were standing guard and they were frightened, we read in the gospel accounts. They were traumatized. They were unconscious. And the women were obviously very afraid themselves. The vivid appearance of the angel, an earthquake. The reaction of the guards, the whole scene before them was so different from their expectations. But the news they were to receive from the angel was the best news that they could ever receive. This was the best news, not only for these two women, but for you and for me, for all the world, for all time. The news is so significant this morning. Its meaning is so profound. Jesus has risen. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. He is a risen Savior. He's alive. He's in heaven now as we speak. Fear not. Do not be afraid. For I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. Yes, most assuredly crucified on the cross at Calvary. But he is not here. He is risen, as he said. Well, the amazing news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ was given to the women in a manner that reassured them. It reminded them of the reliability of the word of God. He is risen, as he saith. And so we can be assured in this world of uncertainty this morning, this world of tumult. If we come and trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can find certainty in a world of uncertainty. And the only certainty in a world of uncertainty is God's certainty. And where we find God's certainty, friends, is in the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's unchanging. Here we find a certainty this morning. And in his certain absolute word of God, God says, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Take comfort from God's certainty. And so we come this morning to examine some aspects of this resurrection for our instruction. First of all, do not be afraid. There's comfort in the resurrection. Verse 5, and the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. Do not fear, do not be afraid. And in the original language, these words were very emphatic. In fact, it says in the original, God forbid that you should fear. Now, these were very direct words. They were given with authority for the comfort of the alarmed women. The command, do not be afraid, was not given to the guards. They had no interest in the Lord Jesus. They were now as dead men, overwhelmed with fear. But the words of comfort were given to two women seeking Jesus. I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. Are you seeking Jesus this morning? Do you want to know him in your life as your personal Savior and Lord? Don't be afraid. Come to him. Believe in him. These words, fear not, are meant for the benefit of all those seeking Jesus, which was crucified. Trusting in him, you seek Jesus. What words of comfort then? But we must realize, and I say this with tenderness, I trust, and meekness, we cannot take the reassuring fear not of God's word without repentance of our sin and faith in Jesus Christ. God's fear nots are not meant for the false comfort of those who do not believe in God or do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fear nots of God are a very special gift given to comfort and assure all those that trust in him, all those that are seeking him. Now, the women, up until this point, were not expecting a risen Saviour because they'd come to anoint a body. Nevertheless, the angel knew they were seeking to seek to serve Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so the angel said to the women, "Fear not ye. You who believe in him have nothing to fear. You are loyal friends of Jesus. You have remained loyal even though the world despises Jesus. Now you must take comfort. Do not be afraid, because the Lord Jesus Christ has most certainly risen from the dead." Jesus has risen from the dead. He's not here. He's not in this tomb. And what does this mean for us this morning? It means that the Almighty God, God the Father, has accepted the sufferings of Jesus Christ, his Son, the Son of God, as having satisfied his justice. One of the messages of the resurrection is that the suffering of Jesus Christ was accepted by God the Father as the only sacrifice suitable for sinners like you and like me. For my sin and your sin is the only way that God will forgive is through this atoning work of Christ on Calvary's cross. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is one great evidence that God has accepted Calvary. The transaction is complete and confirmed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is alive. But secondly, he is not here, for he is risen, in verse 6. Well, we move from comfort to certainty here. Now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is as important to Christian faith as the death of Jesus Christ. We often don't recognize this, but it is true. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is as important to Christian faith as the death of Jesus Christ. Because we read in Scripture, if Christ did not rise from the dead, Christian faith is meaningless. It is all vanity. It's all a big lie. It's all a big deceit. Therefore, for the resurrection to be a real comfort, it has to be a certainty for us this morning. Paul told the church at Corinth, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. It's meaningless. And so the apostles preached the resurrection of Jesus as a certainty. And with great power, we read, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now, if we believe by faith this morning that the resurrection is a certainty, we are described as blessed people. When Thomas said to the Lord he would not believe unless he could touch him after his resurrection, Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Do you want to be a blessed person this morning? A truly blessed person? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you believe on him, not only as the Savior, but as the risen Savior, Jesus is alive, you are a most blessed person. He is not here, for he is risen, a certainty. But then the confirmation, it says here in verse 6, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. As he said. Now, the Lord Jesus had already foretold his resurrection. If we turn on to Luke chapter 24, Luke 24 and verse 6, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. And they remembered his words. What the Lord Jesus said here on earth came to pass. Now, throughout history, people have to endure exaggerated claims and promises made by their leaders, perhaps made by their employers or others. Many promises are made in manifestos, for example, prior to elections to win votes, and some provide false hopes. But what the Lord Jesus promised has been fulfilled, as he said. This event is simply a fulfillment of God's word. And that's why God's word is so important to us this morning. As he said, this is God's word to you. His resurrection was an absolute confirmation of what he said. And so this morning, take confidence in the word of God. What God says comes to pass. What he says happens. It has been the same from the beginning of time, right in the very first chapter of the book of Genesis, when God was creating the world, we read, and God said, and it came to pass. And all through the history of this world, God spoke at creation. God warned about a flood, and it happened. God said that he promised that he would deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt from captivity, and it happened. But God warned the children of Israel that if they went over to idolatry, they themselves would be taken into captivity, and it happened. God promised that Jesus Christ would be born here upon this earth. The Son of God would take upon himself a body. He was called the Messiah, and it came to pass. It was prophesied that the Lord Jesus Christ would die upon the cross at Calvary on behalf of needy sinners like me and like you, and it happened. It was prophesied and it was spoken that he would rise again from the dead on the third day, and it happened. It would prophesy that he would ascend back into heaven, and it happened. The word of God warned that the church of Jesus Christ would be persecuted through the ages, and it is going on. The word of God said that the gospel would spread throughout all the world, and it is spreading throughout all the world. God said he would build his kingdom, and the gate of hell will not prevail against it, his church. And it is growing. There was an article in the Daily Telegraph about the growth of the church in China. And evidently, it's estimated that if this continues, this revival time, that China will be one of the largest nations on earth with the greatest population of Christian believers. What an amazing thing that is. God prophesied in his word about the state of the world, especially toward the end times. And the word of God says that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. What God says happens. And the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again in glory, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And so faith rests upon what God has said. What he has revealed to us in his word, it always happens as he said. But then clarity. Verse 6, he is not here for he is risen. This is not hidden. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ must be clearly evidence. Jesus freed himself from the grave clothes, we read. He set them in orderly in place. He must have dressed himself and departed from the tomb, still as both God and man. The Bible assures us that the Lord rose from the dead physically. Thomas was told to touch the Lord Jesus. There was something to touch. There was a body to touch. It was a glorified body, but nevertheless, there was a physical resurrection, a physical element to it. The Lord, we read, after his resurrection, appeared to the women. He appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. The Lord commanded Thomas to touch his body, which bore the clear evidence of his crucifixion. Twice he met the disciples together in a room. The Lord appeared on one occasion after his resurrection to 500 of his followers together. He appeared to his disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. He prepared breakfast for his disciples. He restored Peter from his backslidden condition. The Lord spoke personally to Paul on the road to Damascus after his resurrection. And all these confirmed evidences support our faith this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ most assuredly rose again from the dead. There's clarity in the word of God on this matter. Now we've heard, maybe you've seen or have read about the Pistorius trial which is going on, and so much depends upon the evidence, the reliability of the evidence. But the Lord in his mercy has given us so much evidence of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Infallible proofs, we read, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, after his death, by many infallible proofs. He was seen of them for 40 days, speaking of the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. Well, infallible proofs encourage sincere saving faith in Christ's resurrection. But then, not only clarity, but communication. Verse 7, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Look, I've told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. This wonderful news needs to be communicated, and quickly and urgently. The matter is of vital importance, and great honor was bestowed upon the women. They were the first to take the resurrection news to the disciples, and they go with fear and joy. And when God works in our lives, there is a wonderful harmony between reverence and rejoicing. Yes, we need reverence, godly fear. God is holy. God is almighty. But we rejoice because God is God is love. God is gracious. God is merciful. We are victorious in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is reverence and rejoicing, fear and great joy. Well, the news was so amazing that at first the disciples thought their words seemed as idle tales. And when grief overwhelms us at times, like it did the disciples, we fail to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And the disciples were at first unwilling to receive believe in the good news. But the fact that they were unwilling at that time to believe, just at that particular short time in their experience, did not alter the truth of the news. And so this morning, if you remain in unbelief, it doesn't alter the fact that God is God and the word of God is true. It doesn't alter anything. We have not the power to alter. We have not the power to change God. We have not the power to change his word. God remains true and sure and certain and eternal, and his word endures forever. The problem is not with God. The problem is with us. Well, this resurrection news, when it was received by the disciples and it was evidenced before them through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, it transformed them. They were fearful, hidden in a room, fearful of their lives. But when they saw the risen Lord, their fear was changed to courage and authority and joy. The transformation of the resurrection. The transformation of the resurrection. And so we read in verse 9, and they went to tell his disciples, and behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail, meaning rejoice. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. All hail, rejoice. So we move now from clear communication to celebration. There is a right celebration in the resurrection. As the women run off to tell the disciples, they meet none other than the risen Lord himself. Rejoice, he says, all hail. Rejoice because God the Father has accepted the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross. Rejoice because we believe the resurrection has placed a glorious crown upon the sufferings of Christ. Rejoice because the risen Lord is the assurance to all believers of heaven and the life hereafter. If in this life only you have hope of the Lord Jesus Christ, we read that you are of all men most miserable. If Jesus Christ is a dead Savior or just for time, oh, it's much more than that. The Lord Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord for time and eternity. In him is resurrection life. In him is eternal life. In him is hope of glory and heaven. Rejoice then, because in the risen Lord, believers experience resurrection life in themselves, transforming their life spiritually. Rejoice also, because the risen Lord has ascended up on high, and he ever lives to make intercession for his people. You turn with me, please, to Hebrews and chapter 7. We read something of this in the Word of God. It's very encouraging for us to take notice of this as we contemplate the Lord Jesus Christ as the High Priest. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 23. And they truly were many priests. This is speaking about the Old Testament time now. Because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. They were just here for a time. But this man, the Lord Jesus, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sin and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, But the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son, that is Jesus Christ, who is consecrated for evermore. We have a merciful and faithful high priest in heaven. He's risen from the dead. He's interceding in heaven now on behalf of all those that call upon his name. Rejoice then because of the risen Lord. There is hope for the future. Keep looking to the glory. Rejoice. The Christian hope looks by faith to the time at the end of the world when our bodies will be resurrected into a glorious and incorruptible state and reunited with their souls to live in the new earth. The triune God will dwell with his people. There will be no more pain and no more suffering, no more tears, only joy. Rejoice, because the resurrection means in Jesus Christ we will be victorious over sin and death and hell. Rejoice, because the resurrection means we can sing, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Oh, the resurrection brings hope. It brings assurance. It brings joy. It brings hope. It takes away even the sting of death. You know, there was once a father and his son who were traveling in the summer on the road, and the windows of the car were open, and this boy was allergic to bee sting. And a bee flew into the car, and the little boy was terrified. But the father stopped the car, and he grabbed the bee in his hand, and he gripped his hand. And then he let go of his hand again, ungripped his hand, and the bee flew out. And the little boy was terrified again. Why, Father, did you let the bee go? And he said, look at my hand. And there was the bee sting in the palm of his hand. The bee was flying about. But there was no more fear in the boy because the bee's sting had been taken. The bee was no longer a danger to him. And that is what it is like when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even their greatest enemy, which is death, the sting of death is taken away in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the stone was there. The seal was there. The guards were there. Satan's resistance was there. But in God's power, it was all blown away, moved away. Because nothing can stop the will of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. He is not here. He is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Jesus met them saying, rejoice, and they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said unto them, do not be afraid. May the Lord this morning then give us a precious faith glimpse of a risen Lord and believe in him and trust in him. You know, the resurrection is like God's wonderful provision for us to give us clarity and belief in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Hope. You know, if you go to Richmond Park, there is a place called King Henry's Mound. And if you go and stand on the top of King Henry's Mound, you can see St. Paul's Cathedral. And there are thousands of buildings between Richmond Hill, King Henry's Mound, and St. Paul's Cathedral. But there is a legally binding agreement whereby if you stand on King Henry's Mound, you can see St. Paul's Cathedral. And any building that is built that might be built to obstruct the view from King Henry's Mound to St. Paul's Cathedral would have to be pulled down. There's a legally binding agreement that anyone that stands on King Henry's Mound can see St. Paul's Cathedral. And so this morning, may we come to God's Word and stand by faith upon God's Word and see by faith Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But not only Jesus Christ and Him crucified, but Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, and believe in Him and trust in Him as our Saviour and as our Lord. Amen.